Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You're tuned in to The Last Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to The Last Radio Show. I'm John Lynch.
I'm Jen Riley.
And today we are going to talk about one of my favorite subjects.
Now we've known so many things.
It could be so many. Now we've known each other a long time, and I'm a hardcore Star Wars guy, as you may know.
Mm-hmm.
You are not so much a Star Wars person.
I am not.
Now since you've become a mom and you have children and a couple of boys, do they like Star Wars? Are they into it at all?
You know what's so weird is that they're not. My husband made them watch the original.
Right.
And and they were into it for a little bit, and they watched the, whichever came next and the prequel or whatever, but they never really got into it. And so
they're not hardcore, huh?
Yeah. I don't know why. So many things are vying for their attention these days.
Right.
You know?
There is a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
The original Star Wars came out. There was nothing like it.
Nothing. Yeah. And nothing else to watch, really.
That's true. It's true. And now, obviously there's, superhero movies and all other kinds of sci-fi stuff. I brainwashed my child. My son is a hardcore Star Wars guy.
I'm sure.
I completely got him into it. Now I'm old enough to remember when the first ones came out in movies.
Right.
And seeing them in the movie theater when I was 6 years old, I saw the first Star Wars movie in the movies. And that hooked me for life.
Yeah.
Because that was the seminal moment of my young life at that point.
Yeah, I have an uncle, same thing.
It was
the lightsabers, and we used to play Star Wars. I never saw it myself as a child, but we used to play the games and have the little figures.
It was, a lot of people, when they talk about blockbusters and big movies and what is pretty common nowadays, the first one a lot of people say is Jaws was the first true blockbuster movie.
Okay.
And that came out, I think, in 76, but Star Wars came out the year later in 77. That was really the all-encompassing movie. Star Wars was everywhere at that point. And, they were showing up on, variety shows. They just kind of randomly have R2-D2 come on and all that stuff.
Sure.
They were on the Muppet Show. They were everywhere. And, of course, the action figures, they were really the dominant movie in terms of coming up with the whole idea of the little action figures that people.
Oh, absolutely. Did. I had Princess Leia, of course.
There you go.
Yeah.
Definitely. And of course, the genius of the whole thing with Star Wars is that when George Lucas was pitching the movie, the movie theaters are like, what is this? This is crazy. It's like,
right.
And he's like, listen, let's just make the movie. You don't even have to pay me much. I'm just going to keep all the merchandising rights.
Right. Yes.
And, and they didn't care because they didn't think it was going to be a hit. And they didn't think, nobody thought of action figure sales and all this kind of stuff.
Right. Isn't that why Spaceballs capitalized on that? They spoofed it.
Real money from the movie is made. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And of course, so that was the beginning of Star Wars, but we're not going to talk about Star Wars, the original movie today. We're going to talk about the first prequel, Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace.
So I wanted to watch it before we spoke, but I didn't get a chance. So I'm going to watch it after.
maybe I'll whet your appetite and you'll have to binge it. So basically there are three unique eras of Star Wars movies. Of course, there's the original trilogy, which came out in the late 70s, early 80s, and that was Star Wars A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
By the way, which one was Jabba the Hutt in?
He was in Return of the Jedi.
Okay, that was my favorite. I think that was my childhood.
That was the one that also had the Ewoks in it, too.
Yes.
That they were a very big deal at the time.
Okay.
So that was the end of the original trilogy. And then from 83, when Return of the Jedi came out, to 99... when Phantom Menace came out, there were no Star Wars movies.
Right.
Which is insane to think about now with all the amount of stuff that comes out for all these franchises and stuff.
Yeah.
Where multiple TV shows and movies going all the time. There was, a couple of decades where there were new Star Wars. There was a couple of things They did a couple of TV movies with the Ewoks. They had a couple of cartoon series that were kind of like more kiddie, not really like part of the main Star Wars movie.
Well, they wrapped it up pretty good, right? Like at the end of the three, and that's why.
At the end, spoiler alert for a return. But they beat the Empire. They blow up the Death Star the second time, and right. they kill Darth Vader and the Emperor. So they
figured that was it, right?
Right, and they had the little dance with the Ewoks at the end, which is the legendary Ewok song that they danced to.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Star Wars is that when the first three movies, they started with Episode 4, which the first one is the fourth part of the story. So they actually went back in the early 90s and early 2000s and did the prequels.
Wait, was that on purpose? They started four, or
George Lucas he's very evasive about it. He kind of like makes it think like, oh, I had this all in my head the whole time.
Right, like genius.
Kind of thing, yeah. Most people are like, he was kind of making up some of this as he went along. There's a big debate about that. And he is understandably very protective over it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were definitely some hints of some things in the original movies that hinted to what came before.
Right.
Of course, like, we, again, another spoiler, but, Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Yes, right.
And, the whole story of how that happened and how Darth Vader became Darth Vader.
Right.
Luke was, didn't know anything about it. That's what the prequels are about, essentially.
Yeah.
So for many years, there was not much Star Wars out there. And then in the late 90s, George Lucas said he's going to go back to it and he's going to do the prequels. The prequel, which is kind of a pretty common term now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody really used that term before these movies.
You're right.
I think he kind of founded that. It was always sequels, because they always did sequels of movies.
Yeah.
Nobody really talked about doing a movie that was before the movie that was already out.
Right.
You know?
So smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Genius. Again, he definitely is a genius. Yes. I mean, you got to give it to him with that. So now, of course, every Star Wars fan who grew up around my age, who saw the first movies when they were, in grade school and maybe like junior high school, were now in their 30s or 40s mm-hmm. when they came out. So the impact of what a movie would have on you when you're 7 years old and when you're 30 years old is quite different.
Right.
It's quite different. And that led to a lot of drama with the prequels. And a lot of fans were not happy with the prequels at the time. And so this kind of gets into the whole love hate of Star Wars. Nobody hates Star Wars more than a Star Wars fan. It's astonishing. And it really all started with The Phantom Menace in 1999. And it's kind of, it's going on now because, as I mentioned, there were three eras. So there was the original trilogy. There was the prequel trilogy, which was late 90s, 2000s. And then in about 2013 or 2014, George Lucas sold Star Wars to Disney, and then they did new movies, and that's the Disney era. And there's a lot more content in the Disney era than any of the other eras, because Disney just pumps out the TV shows and the movies pretty regularly on the Disney Plus channel and everything. And, some of those are good, some of those are bad. A lot of love-hate with those as well.
Yeah.
But again, the love-hate really started with The Phantom Menace. And it came out in 1999, and the cast is amazing. Liam Neeson, Ewan McGregor, Natalie Portman,
yeah.
Yeah, they were the main characters in it. And there was this hype. This is in the early days of the internet, no real social media yet at this point.
Mm-hmm.
When the first trailer came out, it wasn't online because you couldn't watch videos yet online. There was no YouTube, and it was just really slow because everybody was using dial up at that point.
Right.
So people were actually going to the movies to watch the trailer and then leaving. They would buy a ticket to the movie. There was a movie called Meet Joe Black.
Which, oh yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, that the trailer was attached to that movie.
Oh wow.
And it actually had much higher movie sales than it actually should have had. Because so many people were going just to watch the trailer.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah,
that's
they were watching.
Hysterical.
This was like a phenomenon. Again, this is before, now a trailer is up on YouTube 5 minutes after it comes out, so you can watch a thousand times at home if you want. But this, it happened with the Batman movie in 89 to in 88 or 89 when that came out, the Michael Keaton Batman movie.
Yeah.
Where people just wanted to see the trailer and were leaving after the
trailer.
That's
hilarious. They'd pay like $10 or whatever it was, $5.
Yeah, whatever the movie
seems worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Meet Joe Black, and and the movie The Waterboy, the Adam Sandler movie, was with those two movies. They were showing the trailer and they had much higher ticket sales than they actually probably deserved.
That is hysterical.
So there was a lot of hype for this movie. And, you know, again, it was the return of Star Wars, first time since 83, a brand new movie. They had tie in with all the fast food restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was all, you know, you could get the, you know, I think it was Burger King. You could get cups with the characters on it.
Right.
Of course, they had the figures out there. There was the character Darth Maul, which is the bad guy. He's the guy with the red face and the horns on his face, on his head. You would know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know.
Yeah. He was like, you know, the new, he was going to be the new Darth Vader and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, what's his story? Who's this guy? You know, what's this all about and everything? And most famously, looking back now, there was this mysterious character called Jar Jar Binks.
Okay.
Which was, he was an alien guy, and he was the first ever CGI character.
Oh.
He was completely digital. There was an actor who played Ahmad Best, his name was, who like was kind of more of like, almost like a circus performer kind of thing, you know, because mm-hmm. he was kind of clumsy, and he would fumble around, and he had this big nose and big long hair stuff, but it was all computer animated, and like, he was this actor, Ahmad Best, did the stuff, but they made his look digital. So he was
CGI
character.
They had like electrodes on him. That was back in the day when they did that kind of weird stuff.
Yeah, kind of thing. You know, the pink balls and all this stuff. Yeah. So this was the first time. This was brand new technology, cutting edge technology. And this was the first time really, this was the first really big movie to have CGI effects, which are, you know, the early ones, when you look at early movies from the late 90s and early 2000s, and look at what was the cutting edge special effects mm-hmm. at that point, they don't age as well.
So, even Toy Story does not age well. It's weird.
Wow, we thought this was really cool and amazing. It doesn't really quite hold up like it mm-hmm. should. But so Jar Jar Binks was this big, there was a lot of hype about this character, and there was, you know, millions of people wanted to see this movie. It made, you know, it was one of the highest grossing movies. It made just under $1 billion.
Oh my goodness.
And again, this was when ticket prices were a lot lower than they are now. At the time, it was the second highest grossing movie of all time, behind only Titanic.
Wow.
And which had come out like a year or two before. And that, you know, so it was insanely a big deal.
Right.
Then people saw the movie.
Okay.
That's when the problems kind of started.
Now, so, do you have a personal opinion on this for like you remember seeing the movie? Do you remember getting in there and being excited?
I remember seeing it in the movies, and I don't remember seeing it the first time, but I did go a second time to see it.
Okay.
The first time I believe I saw it with my wife, and I think it was just the two of us. And then like a week or so later, I had like a day off during the week, and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna go watch it again. I just went to the movie by myself, which I don't think I've ever done before, and I'm like, I'll just catch an afternoon show and see it a second time.
Right.
And my first reaction when I saw it, and I was like, wow, it's cool, Star Wars is back. And then when that kind of wore off, I was like, was it good? Was it good?
Did I like it?
I mean, I like that Star Wars is back, and you know, and some of the characters were in there, you know, because R2-D2 and C-3PO were in it, and Yoda was in it. You know, these were characters from the original movies, but they were around, and you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi was back, but played by a much younger actor, Ewan McGregor,
right?
Because he was the old man in the Star Wars movies. Now he was, And the thing about the Phantom Menace, and I've seen it many times.
Okay.
And I've seen it in the movies a couple of times when they reissue them in the theaters periodically, where they come back, you know, for anniversaries or whatever. And I do remember going to see it with my son when he was old enough to see it in a movie theater. And I remember
the question is, did he see Star Wars prior to that, or was that his first Star Wars?
No, he knew Star Wars.
Okay.
And but this was the first time he got to see one on a big screen.
Okay.
You know, and that was kind of cool. And he had seen the movie before, and he liked the character Jar Jar Binks because it was very much tailored to kids, and he was five or six at the time. And he liked, you know, the movie. And you know, the movie also had Darth Vader when he was a kid.
Right.
Anakin Skywalker when he was just about 10 years old or so. I think he's supposed to be in the movie, played by an actor named Jack Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
So he identified with, you know, the fact that there was a kid in the movie, and like, oh, he's right. My age, you know, that's kind of cool. You know, I'm going on space adventures with him, you know, that's kind of cool. But the movie, there's definitely issues with one of the biggest complaints people have is there are times when it gets just too bogged down with just people sitting around talking.
Okay.
There's a lot, you know, this is Star Wars. You're
too intellectual. It's like Shakespeare. Yeah. And
a lot of political stuff going on in it, you know, because Natalie Portman's character is, she's a queen mm-hmm. Amidala. and her world is being invaded by this Trade Federation who are the bad guys.
Oh.
And so they go to the Senate to appeal for help. And the Senate is this big galactic Senate with all these different, you know, races of species from all different planets around the galaxy. And it's kind of like watching C-SPAN with special effects. You know, it's like, okay, you know, they're debating like parliamentary procedure.
Right.
And, you know, that's not really what you want to see in a Star Wars movie.
Okay. He went there with it. I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, you know, political. You know, they talk about being too political nowadays, but this was too political, not so much in the sense that it like had an agenda and it was trying to make a point. It was
sure.
just too political because it was showing like politics in its boring state.
So it was boring a little bit.
It had some very slow parts that really dragged on.
Okay.
You know, and then.
Was it long also? Was it very long? Like, yeah, or not necessarily?
Standard movie length.
Okay.
You know, a little over 2 hours, I guess it is in length. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the end, there's a lot of action at the end. There's a big climax, of course, you know, where they're all fighting and, you know, there's space battles and there's a lightsaber duel. It may have the best lightsaber duel in all of Star Wars.
Oh.
Because there's a scene where Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson, who are the two Jedi, they're Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, are fighting Darth Maul. And Darth Maul had a two-sided lightsaber. That was kind of a big deal because that was never seen before. It was a double lightsaber, so he was fighting the two of them at once. And they were doing a lot of flips and jumps and all this kind of stuff. That, and the music is amazing, as it is in all Star Wars music.
Yeah.
John Williams does all the Star Wars music, and he's done, you know, Superman movies and Indiana Jones and all the Star Wars.
Right.
He's like legendary.
He's iconic. You
know,
yeah.
He's like, you know, every, you know, the Empire March and all that kind of stuff. And there's amazing music when they're having this duel, the Duel of the Fates, the music is called. And it's one of the best scenes in all of Star Wars.
Okay.
But then they kind of cut like what Jar Jar Binks is up to, you know, and he's fighting like with an army and, you know, he's tripping and flopping around and he's kind of doofy. And
right.
There's a pretty famous scene where there's a pod race, which is kind of like just like this space race that they're doing where Anakin Skywalker is a little kid is racing all these alien guys through the desert. And it's a very cool sequence. There's a lot of great special effects, but it goes on and on and on. And like, you know, it's like watching NASCAR.
Oh, no.
And it's like, you know, after a while, you're just kind of watching people driving around in circles, you know,
whether
they're aliens or in spaceships or not. You know, it's kind of, it gets a little monotonous.
Right.
So the initial reaction, I think, from the fans was like, cool, Star Wars is back.
Right.
This is amazing. And it got pretty good reviews. Over time, and again, this is in the early stages of people like talking about things more in things like chat groups and stuff like that. And again, you know, there were message boards at this time and stuff like that. And a lot of the hardcore, this is where the hardcore nerdy people really started to kind of take over the discourse about these movies.
Right. And you have a global community here.
And people who are watching it a bunch of times in a row, you know, and like when I saw the first Star Wars, like when it came out in movies, I saw it when I was a kid. I remember talking my dad into taking me to see it a second time.
Mm.
She's like, why would you go see a movie over That's a lot of convincing, but he took me. And then I didn't see it again for like 2 or 3 years until it finally came on network TV, you know?
Exactly.
There was no videotapes yet. There was no cable yet, you know? So, you know, you couldn't like really pick apart the movies.
Yeah. And a lot of it was up to your imagination. You'd fill in the blanks right?
Absolutely. But so once the fans really started to, you know, dissect it and like have this discourse and this conversation about it, that's when the hate really started.
Like most things, right?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it was really, really amazing how it turned on and people really disliked this movie.
Mm.
And there was a lot of hate, not just for this movie, but all three of the prequel movies had different degrees of dislike.
Right.
And this one is kind of considered what started it. And it was the couple of things they lashed out at was the character Jar Jar Binks. Everybody thought he was doofy and, you know, too silly. There's actually a fart joke in there with him, which is not expected in a Star Wars movie. And they also hated the young Anakin Skywalker character because they thought Jack Lloyd, the kid who played him, was just kind of annoying. You know, kind of an annoying kid.
Right.
And it got so bad that Jack Lloyd and Ahmaud Best, the actor who played Jar Jar Binks, actually had like really tough time in life. Like,
oh, no.
Best actually considered.
I couldn't get hired?
He considered suicide.
Oh,
he,
my goodness.
He was going to be like, he was going to be this groundbreaking character. And, you know, it was going to be this technology thing that he was going to be the first CGI character ever.
Oh, right.
Star Wars movie. This is going to be like the biggest thing.
Yeah, and that's true. Right.
You know, and, you know, this was like the biggest thing ever. And he got so much hate that one time he said he was on the Brooklyn Bridge in New York and considered jumping off it.
Oh, how awful.
And he was like very close to it. And Jack,
but I could see that fall from space-like type of, you know, idea. It's crazy.
It was, you know, he was really, really, you know, he became a hated character. And Jack Lloyd had a lot of mental issues either. He was 9 years old when he filmed the movie. And, you know, he said he got teased in school all the time.
That's awful.
He thought, again, you know, he thought, I'm in Star Wars. You know, 9 year old me would have loved to have been in a Star Wars. You know, this incredible kind of thing. But so they both had, and, you know, still Jack Lloyd has been, has, you know, has suffered from depression and, you know, has had to go through therapy and has had been arrested and had legal issues, which is not, you know, that's also being a child star. That's kind of common too. But he just had this incredibly, incredibly tough time with it. It's just amazing that, you know, again, it's because of the fans.
That's what I was going to say. It's like adults like hating on you. It's weird too.
It's really bizarre. And like so much so that like by the time the next movie came out, which was Attack of the Clones, Anakin Skywalker was supposed to be older. So an older actor played him. That was Hayden Christensen, who played him in a couple of movies. That was always the plan anyway. Jack Lloyd wasn't going to stay as the character. He just played him as a child. But the Jar Jar Binks character was supposed to be a much more major part of like all the movies. He very slowly disappeared from the movies over the next couple of movies. He's only in a couple of scenes in the second movie. In the third movie, he's gone. Basically, he's like two lines in the whole movie.
That's wild, because they probably tried to make it more slapstick so they could utilize the technology, right? Like they probably wanted him to be very goofy and, you know, move around a lot and that type of thing. And, backfired.
You know, it gets back to, you know, George Lucas says, you know, these movies are kids' movies. And, you know, again, like I said, someone like my age, who was a kid when they saw the first group of movies, when the second group of movies came out, I was, you know, an adult and, you know, I had a job and had a house and was married and had a kid, you know, and all this kind of stuff. You know, but, you know, still like, well, that's not as cool as I remember it, because everything was cool when you were 10 years old.
It's like your house wasn't as big either, you know, and you get older.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, your dad wasn't as tall as you were. Kind of thing. But so it is kind of sad that like something that is had kind of a positive kind of feel to it. Like you said, when we first started talking, when you were talking about how, you know, Return of the Jedi did have kind of like the ending. You would think. And so maybe they should have just left it at that. Now,
maybe
they've made billions and billions and billions of dollars off these movies since then. So that's probably why they, you know, just stop it at any point.
Well, I think you have to really think about the prequel, because people are vested into these characters. So you can't just like, you know, have your own idea. Everybody has an idea of what happened before, right? Nobody really has an idea of what happened after necessarily, but before, it's already like in your brain, you know?
Well, but then that's the after part is what happened when Disney took
it. How do you feel about that?
Now, they came out, the first movie of the sequel trilogies was The Force Awakens, which came out, I believe it was 2014, I believe it came out. That movie, a lot of people thought they just kind of redid the original Star Wars movie again and just kind of just put some new characters in it.
Better technology.
There is some truth to that, you know, but it was also, you know, you still had the older characters of Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill were there as older people. Now, the thing people, you know, when they do these, and the same thing happens with Harrison Ford and the newer Indiana Jones movies they've done recently. You don't want to see Han Solo as an old man. I mean, you know, Harrison Ford's about 80 now, you know, I mean, you know, and, you know, Carrie Fisher sadly passed away a few years ago. Mark Hamill is in his late 70s now at this point, you know.
Yeah.
And when he did the first Star Wars movie, he was 20.
Exactly.
That's, you know, in my mind, that's Mark Hamill. You know,
He hasn't been doing much since then, right? I mean, before,
he does a lot of voiceover work. A lot of voiceover work. He very famously was the voice of the Joker in Batman, the animated series. That was kind of, that's kind of probably his biggest role after Star Wars. And he's very well known in the, you know, for doing a lot of animated voices and stuff like that. And he is also, you know, if you follow him on social media, on X or Blue Sky or whatever, he is one of the funniest people ever. He is hysterically funny. And he just, you know, and he's, you know, he's got his opinion, his political opinions and everything, and he's not shy about sharing them, but he's also very funny.
And
very accommodating to fans too.
Cool.
If you know, if somebody posts like, boy, it would mean the world to me if Mark Hamill wished me a happy birthday, you know, he does that like all day long. It's he's very good with that kind of stuff. Harrison Ford's a little grumpy when you hear him talk. That's kind of a shtick too, I think. You know, it's definitely a little bit of an act with him. You know, and Carrie Fisher was bitter at times about Star Wars. You know, I mean, she definitely, you know, she had some personal issues as well after Star Wars.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, Harrison Ford, you know, probably one of the most successful actors ever. And right. Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, not so much.
Yeah, that's the thing. So and, I wonder if that's where the bitterness comes. I don't know. Why you would know, you be bitter where you started, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's
you think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, really. But you know, but they all did come back for the sequel trilogies. Mm-hmm. And like the first one, again, had the hype like, OK, Star Wars is back. It's been a while right. since the fans, you know. And then what's curious about that is when the second movie came out, The Last Jedi, that was one of the weirder movies because there are some fans who love it, think it's genius. It's so different and unique.
Okay.
And there are other fans who hate it because it's so different and unique. Okay. It's you know, they completely turned around what the story was going to be and, you know, took some chances.
Where do you stand on that?
I like it. Okay. I like it. I think it was pretty good. There's definitely some parts that could have been better of it. You know, it's not a perfect movie by any stretch, mm-hmm. but I do like it.
Okay.
And so I'm definitely on the positive side of it. And so then they came out with The Rise of Skywalker, which was the last of the trilogies. Mm-hmm. And that was a train wreck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Basically, what Disney did was they took, all the fans were kind of very split on The Last Jedi, the movie before. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of criticism like, well, this was too different. So now they just kind of overloaded it with everything a fan could want. And it's just a mess. It's place. They bought back the Emperor who was killed in Return of the Jedi, and like all of a sudden he's just like, oh, he's back.
Oh.
Like,
he's
there's a very famous line in it where one of the characters say, somehow Palpatine returned. Uh-huh. And that's it.
Yeah. That's the story.
That's, you know, and it's a famous meme now and stuff.
Oh, like, well, funny.
It's just like, okay, so we just decided to bring back this actor who people liked because we don't know what else to do at this point.
Right.
So, they also did other projects. Like they did a movie Rogue One, which was very good. They did Solo, which was a Han Solo like prequel story, which was like how he met Chewbacca and all this
right stuff, people like that.
That was pretty good. And then they've done the Disney Plus shows with Book of Boba Fett and Obi-Wan, and they, you know, brought back some of the actors from different movies and stuff. Ewan McGregor came back to play Obi-Wan again, which was kind of cool.
Because is there a current one now, or is there something
else? Next one that's coming out as of taping right now, mm-hmm. okay. Is season 2 of Andor,
okay,
which was very critically acclaimed. And what's interesting about that one, and this kind of ties to like what you said a little while ago about how people kind of had the story in their mind of what happened to these characters before and after the movie, mm-hmm. Andor was a unique story because the characters in that really aren't in a lot of stuff.
It's almost
like its own unique story.
So it's a blank slate.
The same thing when The Mandalorian first came out a couple years ago, which was very popular in the show.
Yes. My kids liked that, actually.
That came out during when Disney Plus first launched. It was during the pandemic, everybody mm-hmm. watched it, and it was very popular the first couple of seasons. Then as the fans started to build their own backstories of what the Mandalorian should be,
right,
they didn't like it as much. Right. So it went on like the third season is not as good as the first couple of seasons,
right,
because, you know, fans are like, well, that's not what the Mandalorian would do, that's not how things would go, this is silly.
So you have to like leave some empty space and holes in these things so that people can and don't ever return to them, like move on to something else, right? Like
the thing that's really unique about Star Wars and mentioned it, the original three movies were the middle story.
Yes.
So, you know, they do a lot of time jumping back and forth. So they did the three stories, which were, you know, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Then they did the prequels, which was Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith, mm-hmm. which were like 30 years before the movies that just came out.
Right.
And then years later, they go back to movies that are 20 years after the original movies.
Right.
So they go back and forth. And then the TV shows are all different time periods.
Just wherever, right.
They're kind of plugged in between all these movies. There's one series that came out last year called The Acolytes, which was set before any of this, like 100 years before The Phantom Menace.
Oh, wow.
It was a prequel to the prequel. And then there's animated series, which some of the fans love, some of the fans hate, but they're kind of part of the story too.
Right. So there's this endless, really, characters and endless plot lines.
I was debating like doing a watch through in order, like, because mm-hmm. I watch all these. I've seen everything as they come out, and I've gone back to the ones that I've liked.
Right.
At one point, I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to watch from the first show of in the order of the story.
Right.
Watch it beginning to end. Then I like did the math. And I wouldn't leave my house for a month and a half. I just was watching TV nonstop. Right. You know, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I don't have the time. So that's kind of where we stand. But what's the other thing that's kind of interesting is with the prequels originally being so hated, now there are fans who were 7 or 8 or 10 years old when those movies. And when these newer movies come out, the Disney movies come out, they don't like those, but they love the prequel ones.
They like the prequels.
Yeah. Okay. You know, because that's the movies, that's the Star Wars they grew up with. That's what kind of, you know, so there's a renewed appreciation for them. Those are kind of beloved now by some fans.
Well, because the impression when you're a child is just, there's nothing like it. You can't recreate that. Exactly. So it's wild.
You know, and you know, the other thing too is, you know, a lot of this stuff now we're seeing on at home as opposed to on the big screen in the movie theater.
It's different,
which is definitely a different experience. And you know, especially movies like this that are kind of specs, you know, with a lot of, you know, a lot of noise and a lot of, you know, big bombastic music and special effects and everything. You do kind of lose something if you don't have, you know, see it on the big screen.
For sure.
So are you going to go watch the prequels now? Are you going to go watch The Phantom Menace?
Well, I'm not sure because I don't know if you've talked it up enough. I don't know if I should now have this preconceived notion of it, but I am going to. Okay. I'll let you know.
All right. I want notes when you're done.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you for listening to The Last Radio Show. If you like the show, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on your favorite platform. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at The Last Radio Show. We will talk to you soon.
The Last Radio Show.
The Last Radio Show.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.